The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The request is in.
I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy made the announcement about a half an hour ago.
Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings.
McCarthy says the inquiry will center on whether the president benefited from his son Hunter's work and possible abuse of power, obstruction, or corruption. The White House has denied it. Democrats call GOP efforts an attempt at political payback. Police say a convicted murderer who escaped from prison in Pennsylvania almost 2 weeks ago is now armed, very dangerous, and getting more desperate. Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says Danilo Cavalcante stole a .22 caliber rifle from someone's garage in suburban Philadelphia.
I think he was probably looking for a place to hide, ran for that garage, saw the firearm, grabbed that, encountered the homeowner, and fled with the firearm.
He says at least 500 officers are searching or guarding an 8 to 10 square mile area northwest of Philly. Roads are closed, so are schools. Police are advising people who live nearby to stay inside and lock their doors. The death toll in Friday's earthquake in Morocco has risen to more than 2,800 people, and the search for survivors continues in remote mountain villages. Correspondent Chris Livesay is in the Atlas Mountains.
Time is ticking, but rescuers are digging in the dirt, rescuing their own sisters, wives, and children, and holding back the sand in the hourglass. I heard my sister screaming, "Brother, brother, save us." I rescued her and her son and her husband, says Mohamed Uchin. We used our bare hands because we didn't have tools. But such scenes of joy, more common shortly after the quake, are growing increasingly rare.
A dire assessment of human rights in Afghanistan. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Human rights in Afghanistan are in a state of collapse.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk.
The shocking level of oppression of Afghan women and girls is immeasurably cruel.
And he said corporal punishments and public executions have resumed, and there are reports of torture and detentions.
The New York Jets' great green hope is out.
Down goes Rodgers and the sack for Leonard Floyd.
CBS Sports has learned an MRI shows QB Aaron Rodgers suffered a season-ending injury last night, a complete tear of his Achilles tendon. Dow's up 53. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Boot Barn.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Aaron Rodgers' football season is over after an MRI this morning confirms he tore his Achilles tendon in last night's game. Mike Clements will have more in sports. Some Republicans are joining Democrats in efforts to stop the possible impeachment of Wisconsin's newest Supreme Court justice. Pete Schwabe has more.
The Republican Accountability Project is out with a new advertising campaign. It urges the public to put pressure on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and 21 other Republicans not to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. The group says its six-figure buy will include a 30-second TV ad on Fox News statewide. Last week, Wisconsin Democrats announced a $4 million effort to put pressure on GOP lawmakers over impeachment. A spokesperson for the Republican Accountability Project says its effort is separate from the Democratic campaign. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, a Madison lawyer is suing to stop Republicans from impeaching Protasiewicz. Tim Burns says impeaching her would violate the constitutional rights of the people who voted for her. Republicans want Protasiewicz to recuse herself from cases about Wisconsin's legislative maps and abortion. Those are things she discussed during her campaign. Wisconsin's top election official is getting a vote of no confidence from a state Senate committee. As Nate Wegehout reports, Megan Wolf may stay on the job anyway.
The vote on the Senate Elections Committee fell along party lines, with three Republicans voting no on reappointing Wolf, one Democrat voting yes, and one Democrat abstaining. Presumably, the vote will go to the full Senate as soon as this Thursday. Republican Senator Dan Fahan, who sits on the committee, said he voted no because she didn't show up to her confirmation hearing. But legal experts say it's no matter. Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer, who also sits on the committee and voted yes, told the Devil's Advocates radio show yesterday.
I think she's either been nominated or she hasn't, and she hasn't. And they, you know, just that they can wake up and say, well, we consider her to have been nominated. That isn't how it works.
Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin Assembly votes this afternoon on nearly $3 billion in tax cuts. Among other things, the package would make retirement income tax-free for most seniors. Governor Evers is promising a veto. He says Wisconsin's $4 billion surplus would be better spent on child care, health care, and education. A large tax cut would also mean giving back $2.5 billion in COVID relief money to Washington. A new report says there are too many national chain stores in Wisconsin's small towns. The 2023 Rural Policy Action Report urges policymakers to make antitrust laws stronger and empower local business owners. Katie Milani helped write the report. She's with the Independent Business Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
We have seen in the last 50 years significant consolidation in our economy. You go to any town across the country and a lot of them look the same. It's the same dollar stores, the same Walmart.
Milani says current policy trends push out independent businesses and that keeps small towns from taking control of their ability to flourish. People in Wisconsin have a chance to express their views about Social Security at local listening sessions in September. Here's Mike Moan.
Martin Hernandez with AARP Wisconsin says these sessions are meant to provide a relaxed atmosphere that allows participants to discuss a hot-button issue without the political tension often connected to it.
There's so much rhetoric going from both sides, and we really want to just present the facts.
He says they're especially trying to engage with workers in their 40s and 50s who will eventually rely on the program. Social Security is popular with voters, but lawmakers are divided on how to maintain it amid forecasts that its funds will run out in a decade. I'm Mike Moan.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Assembly plans to vote today on a $3 billion income tax cut and a constitutional amendment to require a supermajority to raise taxes. Governor Tony Evers has vowed to veto the Republican tax cut proposal, calling the proposal irresponsible and saying it jeopardizes Wisconsin's financial stability. However, Governor Evers will not be able to veto a constitutional amendment to require a supermajority to raise taxes, and that proposal would require Wisconsin voter approval to be put into action. Data from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation shows Wisconsin banks are still in a strong position after the second quarter of the year, increasing loans issued from $106 billion to $109 billion. Wisconsin banks saw increases in residential loans, commercial lending, farm loans, and deposits, but saw a slight decrease in credit quality due to inflation and rising interest rates. The report also concluded Wisconsin banks have a strong net interest margin of 3.24% and healthy capital levels. The number of active hate groups in Wisconsin is on the rise. According to a report by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a nonprofit legal advocacy group, Wisconsin saw a 75% jump in the number of hate groups in the state, but still falls in the middle of the pack for states with active hate groups. The report indicates there were 21 active hate groups in Wisconsin, including 13 anti-government groups and 2 neo-Volkisch groups. It follows a rising trend across the country as only 3 states had a decrease in active hate groups from 2021 to 2022. According to the Department of Natural Resources, the bobcat population in Wisconsin is on the rise throughout the state. DNR data shows Wisconsin had just 1,500 bobcats in northern Wisconsin in 1980, which increased to 3,500 by 2016. Across the state, there are an estimated 46,500 bobcats, and their range has expanded to be seen in the southern parts of the state more frequently. Wisconsin's bobcat hunting season opens on October 14th. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather. A frost advisory was issued for portions of northwest Wisconsin this morning, where temps fell to nearly 32 degrees. That crisp fall air and those dreary skies stay in place as a low-pressure system slides from north to south across the state today. This is bringing feisty winds out of the north again, with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. This has prompted a beach hazard statement along the shores of Lake Michigan today, from Sheboygan area south to Chicago. Waves will climb up to 5 feet alongside dangerous rip currents. Chances for rain rolls in. Portions of west-central Wisconsin may also have some thunderstorms. We could get over a quarter an inch of rain in the Milwaukee metro. Highs will only climb to the upper 50s in the Northwoods to mid-60s south. Overnight, lows will plummet to the 40s, with pockets of mid-30s expected into the Northwoods. Another frost advisory may be issued. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for Civic Media News.
The Brewers shut out the Marlins. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 12-0 win last night over the Miami Marlins at AmFam Field, a 3-run rally in the third, a 5-run rally in the sixth. Then on the mound was Milwaukee's Brandon Woodruff, who pitched a complete game shutout, throwing strikes on the first pitch to 26 consecutive batters.
I kind of noticed pretty early on that they were going to be aggressive, so I just tried to make quality pitches early and try to get quick outs, and thankfully defense played a heck of a game behind me and allowed me to get deep in the game.
Woodruff went over his pitch count, but Craig Counsell let him finish after Sunday's 11 inning no hitter was wasted.
Look, he threw the ball great and he deserved the shot to do it for sure. I'm happy for him. It was a great performance, and on a night, you know, after yesterday, you know, what we got ahead of us, you know, that's just a big time performance. We've had two incredible performances by our guys the last 2 days, and, you know, makes you really appreciate what they've accomplished and what they do for your team.
Game two of the 4-game series tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks' new head coach says that despite Giannis Antetokounmpo's comments to the New York Times, things are fine between him and the team. The Bucks' Adrian Griffin.
Giannis and I are on the same page. You know, we have a great relationship so far, and he's been pleasant to get to know, and he wants to win. I want to win, and it's that simple. So I respect him. I respect what he's accomplished in this league, and we're here together to win. So I have no problem with that. I think it's a great partnership, and we're going to, you know, lead the team together. When he leaves, the others will follow. I think it's great.
College football, number 19th ranked Wisconsin Badgers have been dropped out of the top 25 after losing to Washington State head coach Luke Fickell.
You got to move on. You got to put it past you. But you got to remember the feeling. So those feelings are what continue to motivate you. You don't let them hold you back. You know, not bat an eye over it.
The Badgers host the Georgia Southern Eagles Saturday in Madison. NFL, last night on Monday Night Football, just 4 plays into the Jets' opening drive, Aaron Rodgers was sacked and had to be carted off after twisting his ankle on the turf at MetLife Stadium. Head coach Robert Saleh after the game.
Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
Tests today confirm torn Achilles tendon, out for the season. Rodgers is 39 years old. The Jets went on to win in dramatic fashion with a 65-yard punt return in overtime, 22-16 over the Bills.
Personally, I don't hurt for me. I don't hurt for our locker room. I hurt for Aaron and how much he's invested in all of this.
Teammate Alan Lazard.
Obviously, it helps to have him out there. You know, we don't want to lose anybody regardless. You know, it's going to be a long season.
The Packers have the day off. They begin preparing to head to Atlanta to face the Falcons this Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
2 pairs. Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Right now, it's 62.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers today, I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, how are we doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Good. It's the first Tuesday of the fantasy football season, so you got to keep an eye on those waiver wires. And I meant to ask you about it because our team, I believe, won over the weekend. So that's something.
Well, of course we did, Luke.
Of course
we did.
I played no part.
I had the Dallas defense. So yes, we did in fact win.
We had the Dallas defense. Come on, if it's team effort, you're going to put my name on it. Then you got to say we rather than just I had the Dallas defense.
Fair, but your name is not on it because you have not yet accepted the invitation to co-manage. So it is, as of right now,
Still haven't sent it to me. All right. But other than that, it's a great Tuesday. Just feeling a little bit like fall, you know, a brisk morning, but a nice afternoon. Having a great time. I'm thrilled to be with you here on the Civic Media airwaves.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful outside today. That's how I feel. I like the cooler weather. So today, it finally, to me, feels pleasant to be outside instead of just miserable.
Just miserable. That's one way to define the 90s, 80s, and 90s temperatures that we've been experiencing over the better part of the last month. But yeah, it's a nice pleasant. Fall is my favorite season, but I'm just dead set on not getting to it before it's actually here. People that start talking about pumpkin spice and fall, like as soon as the 4th of July is over, there's a separate ring in hell for individuals like that, in my opinion.
It's all the same corporate people who do Black Friday sales and how Black Friday sales are actually all of November now.
Yeah, that's weird. There's certain stores out there that already have Christmas decorations. I'm like, stop it. Like the over-marketalization of
capitalism run amok.
It's not fun. We're in the final couple days of summer. I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be thrilled to celebrate fall once it's here.
Well, and now that fall is here, as you mentioned, it's football season. Did you manage to watch the game last night, Luke?
I did. That was a very unfortunate situation.
I'm genuinely heartbroken. Not just for Aaron, because he seems so excited to be there, but for Packers fans who are no longer going to get that first-round pick, for Jets fans who had the most excitement that they've had in decades. God, I feel so bad for that fan base. For fans of NFL football. Like this was absolute worst case scenario for everybody involved. It's terrible. And it's really sad, I think, to see a lot of people like cheering on the injury.
Yeah,
it's a human being. That's disgusting. You should never be cheering somebody getting hurt. But B, what Aaron Rodgers did for the franchise, for the Green Bay Packers, for the state of Wisconsin over the past 15 years, should wish him nothing but good fortune. Obviously, if the Jets and the Packers were to play, we're rooting for the Packers here still. But this is just a miserably sad situation for anybody who finds themselves a fan of football, because that had the opportunity to be a really fun season.
Did you see the story for the bar in Milwaukee that was doing the promotion?
Yes.
If the Jets lose, you win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fans live. I believe I was watching AJ Bhattapuri, reporter for CBS 58, was there in the bar when the Jets won in overtime, and the disappointment from the fans was pretty high because Rodgers did start the game. He was in the game for four snaps, and then the unfortunate injury took him out of the game. At that point, I think a lot of people probably started drinking, thinking that they were going to get their bar tabs picked up because
Zach Wilson's coming in. Yeah,
exactly. If Rodgers was going to be out of the game, there was a likelihood that the Bills would win. Not the case, though. Game went to overtime, and on the first punt return, Jets special teams taking care of business and scoring that touchdown to win the game and cover the bar that would have had a lot of tabs that they would have had to pick up had that not been the outcome.
You know what? That's what happens when you celebrate early. When you celebrate fall before it's fall, when you celebrate
one injury is the in the first, 6 minutes of the game determines the outcome? Yeah, not the case. There you go, Aaron. Very, very insightful. There's some wisdom from Mr. Zommers there on the ones and twos. But, Will, what are we talking about?
The NFL has scripted people on Twitter. We're having a field day after that ending. But today, Luke, I want to address the relationship that communities have with law enforcement, and I want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, how do you want and or expect your community to address public safety? Is it time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement? I'm going to launch this by reading over from a piece at WISN. Big Bend votes to eliminate police department. The measure would cut three full-time and nine part-time police officers. Another Waukesha County community has voted to eliminate its police department. The vote last Thursday night would make Big Bend the eighth Waukesha County community to have its police services covered by the sheriff's office. The measure would cut all three full-time and nine part-time police officers. The deal with the sheriff's office would provide two full-time deputies based in Big Bend, but shared with the village of Vernon, which already has a deal with the WCSO. Several board members who spoke with WISN 12 News said the approximately $500,000 deal would save the village about $200,000 a year. Is this the future of policing? Is this the future of public safety? I want to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
And it's interesting, Will, because if the politics of the community of Big Bend were different, Waukesha County is where Big Bend resides. If this was in a liberal county or a liberal city, I believe you would see a firestorm of activity around a vote like this.
Agreed.
It is interesting to see that that is not the case, that you do not see the same pundits that have been screaming about liberal efforts to defund the police pick up this story. And I can understand the village of Big Bend, I'm sure, is facing a lot of budgetary constraints. For far too long, we've seen a shared revenue formula here in the state of Wisconsin that went unaddressed. There were villages, tiny villages and towns, all the way up to large cities like Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee that were not adequately getting funded by the state government. We had a broken shared revenue formula here in Wisconsin for far too long that left a lot of municipalities, like villages, like Big Bend, that had to make these tough budgetary decisions. We've seen communities go to referendum to fund their schools. We see services like public safety and law enforcement get cut. And if this were to happen in a community with different politics, there would be so much outrage around it. And so I hope that the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department can adequately still respond to the calls that it will need to in Big Bend. But I think it needs to be pointed out the reason why a lot of municipalities like this are having to take votes like this is because there's been a lack of focus, or at least prioritization, from the state to actually address how our communities are being funded and providing services like this. We instead, for the better part of the last 3 years, have been going on wild goose chases, spending millions of dollars trying to find voter fraud that does not exist, trying to take away powers from an incoming governor because you don't like the politics of that governor, fighting lawsuits over redistricting that federal court cases have shown is rigged, but because one of the candidates that ran for a seat on the state's highest court shared her views on the issue, and Wisconsin voters
that they are in fact rigged.
Voted for her. They're going to now float ideas of impeachment. That's where the priorities are being and the time is being spent by some state lawmakers rather than addressing the issues that we have, like public safety. And so I
also didn't note the massive tax cuts, Luke. Remember that we had a record budget surplus. We had the money to do something.
We still have $4 billion. We still have $4 billion. There's still a huge budget surplus. There are things that the state government could do right now to help address public safety in areas like Big Bend and around the state. But instead, that doesn't seem to be the case. I do applaud the bipartisan nature that went into addressing the shared revenue formula, and there is assistance on the way, but that does not necessarily make up for a decade and a half of being asleep at the wheel on this issue, Will.
Yeah, and Luke, I got to reiterate as well that this is not, you know, this is not a one-off even in Waukesha County, right? Big Bend is the eighth Waukesha County community to have its police services covered by the sheriff's office and disbanding its own police department. I also want to note that I believe it was 82 years that Big Bend has had its own department. So this is, yep, it's a monumental decision. Big Bend has had its own police department for 82 years. What's interesting in this situation, and what a number of, for example, Trustee Josh Grover, who was one of the two board members to vote against it, noted, they were very upset because there was no public notice that this issue was up for a discussion or a vote. He was asked by a reporter when the first time he heard about possibly disbanding the police department was, and he answered yesterday during the meeting. So is this, behind closed doors, decisions being made without public input? Is this something that your community may or may not support if it were to be the next one where this issue comes up? I'd like to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin. Give us a call. Or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts on public safety and how it is best for communities to address it?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting comparison as we're seeing different areas of the state who are looking to address these problems with similar situations as Big Bend. Budgetary constraints, being able to allocate the staffing and resources that goes into addressing public safety. And there's a piece over at the Cap Times discussing how Madison, here in my area of the state, is addressing this and how an outside organization is looking to maybe expand a program to other areas in the state outside of just Madison. So we're going to get into that story as well. But we want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call when it comes to public safety. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can share those thoughts with us here on Town Call. And if you're on the go on this Tuesday afternoon, download the Civic Media app. Take us with you while you're on the go. You can engage with the show right from the app. You can call or text. You can download it on all of your smart devices. Head over to the Apple or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. Take us with you on the go. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation. Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's directed lawmakers to open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden and whether he benefited from his son Hunter's business dealings.
Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption.
Some Republicans staunchly against an impeachment inquiry. State police in Pennsylvania say escaped murderer Danilo Cavalcante stole a rifle from a home near Philadelphia. Lieutenant Colonel George Bevis.
In my opinion, I believe it was a crime of opportunity. I think he went in there probably trying to hide. The garage door was open. He didn't recognize that the owner was in there.
Justice Department's antitrust case against Google's underway in Washington. CBS's Jolene Kent at the courthouse.
Google Chief Legal Officer Kent Walker says the company is not breaking the law.
We believe that people use Google because it's helpful. You've never seen more ability for people to be able to find information in different ways.
Aaron Rodgers out for this season. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The number of active hate groups in Wisconsin is on the rise. According to a report by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a nonprofit legal advocacy group, Wisconsin saw a 75% jump in the number of hate groups in the state, but still falls in the middle of the pack for states with active hate groups. The report indicates there were 21 active hate groups in Wisconsin, including 13 anti-government groups and 2 neo-Volkich groups. It follows a rising trend across the country, as only 3 states had a decrease in active hate groups from 2021 to 2022. The Wisconsin Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protections has voted against confirming Megan Wolf to remain as the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call called the vote a charade and a waste of taxpayer dollars, arguing that a recent Supreme Court decision means Wolf is allowed to stay in the position indefinitely after the Wisconsin Elections Commission failed to get the majority needed to advance the confirmation to the state Senate. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it was like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking public safety today. Is it time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement? Luke, as you teased before the break, up in your neck of the woods, reading over from the Cap Times, Dane County joins Harvard to expand mental health crisis services. This is an approach that we've seen used to success. Could you elaborate a little bit on how this program came to be and why it has been so effective?
Yeah, so throughout the summer of 2020, when there was a lot of unrest, both here in Wisconsin and around the nation when it came to communities' relationship to law enforcement, there were questions about whether or not police were the best individuals to be the first responders in all situations, because so many communities have had only the police to respond. So regardless of it being a violent emergency where the police should absolutely be called, or to somebody that is having a mental health break and could just harm only themselves, the police were the first responders in all of these instances. And we heard from law enforcement, we heard from police officers that they are not necessarily the best individuals to equip to respond to these situations. And so there was a movement to start saying, okay, how can we have other individuals or better trained professionals respond in times of crisis that maybe the police aren't the best response? And that was met with slogans like defund the police. And a lot of individuals that disagree with that statement started slapping the defund the police label on almost anything that would address community responses to a crisis. And so we heard a lot about defund the police during the summer of 2020 and since. And you don't hear the village of Big Bend dissolving their police department and truly stopping the funding and no longer funding the village of Big Bend's police, as looped in with that defund the police. There's a specific group of people, Will, that get slapped with the label when they talk about not wanting law enforcement being the only response to crisis. They're the ones that get slapped with the defund the police and the negative connotation that comes with that. But here in Madison, we had community members say, we could do better. We saw other areas around the country, like in Denver, create alternatives for specific situations. So this isn't that there's still a call center where 911 calls go here in Dane County. We don't in the city of Madison. There's not a separate center that was elaborated for it. But those dispatchers now have a new resource here in Madison, and it's referred to as the CARES program. It's an acronym that stands for the Community Alternative Response to Emergency Services. And so CARES essentially sends an EMT, a medical professional with the Madison Fire Department, and a mental health professional from one of the excellent organizations here in Madison.
Journey Mental Health Center crisis workers.
Correct. And so one of their crisis workers and an EMT through the Madison Fire Department, always together. It always has to be a pair of both of them to be able to respond, which has been staffing is one of the larger problems. Over 2 years ago, this was a pilot. It was only for portions of the city. Since then, the city had such a good response from it that they started and expanded it to the entire city. And Dane County is looking to be able to expand it to the entire county. Now, there are some growth hurdles there. Being able to have a response like this in more rural areas of Dane County has yet to be determined on how they can best do that. We see a lot of municipal fire departments that just don't have a full-time ability to respond with a mental health crisis worker in these calls. And so figuring out the staffing of that, because a lot of those more rural fire departments have been defunded, again, it gets back to, for far too long, communities have had to consolidate or eliminate services. So rural fire departments are based on a volunteer basis. You see a lot of volunteer fire departments in rural areas of the state, Will. And so therefore, there is not a larger fire department like here in Madison that can assist in a program like CARES and have one of the two pieces of these teams respond to these calls. But we've seen that the individuals that are calling 911 looking for emergency help, but the dispatcher identifies it as a nonviolent situation. Police still are the individuals responding to 911 calls that are deemed violent by the professionals that are running the dispatch service. But there is an alternative now here in the city of Madison, and we've seen success so much that the Harvard school that you mentioned, the School of Government at Harvard, wants to assist Dane County in partnering between the county, the city, and their Harvard University to figure out how the program can be expanded and address issues like how can we respond with this alternative response in rural areas? So individuals living in rural Wisconsin can have the emergency services they need when they're suffering from a mental health crisis. How can we better address those situations as a community? And so it is two very drastic sides of the coin if you're looking at this instance here in Wisconsin on how these communities are addressing public safety. Big Bend is being forced to eliminate its police department, and you're seeing multiple levels of government, city, county, and outside organizations come in here in Dane County trying to expand an alternative. Really, that should be the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin, our state government, should be recognizing a program that works and says, hey, how can we improve upon that? But again, the priorities at the state level are not to address problems and how to make them better, how to fix situations here in Wisconsin. It seems like the priorities are vastly, vastly different than that right now, Will.
Yeah, our elected officials clearly have a very different approach to how to best govern our communities. Our communities want to focus on being as healthy, as happy. They want to thrive as much as they possibly can to create a home we can all be proud of. Elected officials seem to instead have their mind on things like election integrity, things like issues that, well,
election integrity
are important,
is important.
Well,
election integrity
have been
is
proven
important
to not be a problem time and time and time again. And you compare that to issues that our community are facing that is actively a problem. For example, our relationship with law enforcement and the impact that that has in our communities. Reading over from the piece at the Cap Times, it noted that the success of the CARES program has opened up the question of whether the rest of Dane County could also have access to this behavioral health response in emergencies, a service intended to avoid police interactions that escalate into violence and to provide specialized care appropriate to a mental health crisis. The escalation into violence point, Luke, you noted that multiple times. That has been a widespread issue nationally. We have seen time and time again police responding to situations that they are not adequately equipped to handle, and the situation takes a very dark turn, and it ends up becoming a tragedy for all of those who are involved. This type of approach works, and Dane County is not the only one who is seeing it, as you noted. The CARES program is based off of the STAR program, which has been implemented in Denver, and I believe you mentioned Portland had a version of it as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the study.
I don't have the Portland piece specifically in front of me, but I believe yes, there are other alternative responses that communities are having, like here in Madison, like in Denver, and other places around the country, where we can see this model working. But in a lot of instances, it gets slapped with the label "defund the police," and it gets chalked up into this argument. And when you actually see municipalities that are forced to defunding their police departments, it's not used
crickets
in that. Yeah, it's not used in that instance. And it's just it is used as a political football slung around to try to make a movement that is working to address and make our communities better as something that is less than ideal for voters that are out there, because they're being told these slogans rather than actually the substance that's included in these policies and programs.
Yeah, and as you noted, you know, if a city were to do that, you better believe that the defund the police moniker will be slapped all over it, as we saw in Denver. But from reading over from Stanford as well, they did a study on the pilot 911 response program in Denver, the STAR program, which we just mentioned, in which mental health specialists responded to calls involving trespassing and other nonviolent events, and they found a 34% drop in reported crime during the 6 months trial. The standard by Stanford scholars Thomas D. and James Pine also showed that the direct costs of the alternative 911 approach were 4 times lower than police-only responses. So not only are we getting better results from specialized programs like this, we are saving significant amounts of money, which I think makes a massive, massive difference when most of these communities that are forced to, you know, quote-unquote defund the police, are doing so due to budget restrictions. And as you accurately pointed out as well, Luke, a lot of this all comes back to shared revenue, right? So many of these issues are intertwined. There's a reason that that politics is local, because these type of programs and the implementation of these ideas and strategies and policies are going to have tangible, direct impacts on your day-to-day life. And it's really disheartening to see the culture war popping up in some instances of successful policy implementation and not others, because a certain subset of elected officials want to use it to drive these wedge issues and push their own campaigns forward.
Well, it's not even their use in some instances and not the others. It's used selectively in one way when it's convenient, and then used selectively another way when it's not. It is disingenuous, to say the best, because, or to say the least, because it is, if you truly want to address public safety, and a program like the CARES program or STAR, as you pointed out, the Stanford study into Denver's program, if you want to improve public safety, programs like this need to be included then, because they're working. It is not just funding police departments more, hoping that all of the problems will be solved because police departments are funded more. It is being smart in how we allocate our municipal resources, to allocate our ability as a community to say, this is how we believe these situations need to be addressed. Because again, at the end of the day, that's all a budget is. A budget is a community's priorities.
It's priorities.
And we elect individuals to represent us at this local, state, and national level. And if they want to say a bunch of talking points, as you've said, all politics are local, but you hear a lot of national talking points all of a sudden get regurgitated down here at the local level, and they don't necessarily stack up, because when you're actually talking about how these communities are addressing public safety, we are seeing a success story here in Madison when it comes to the community alternative response to emergency services, or CARES, and it's not being talked about enough. It needs to be talked about more, and the state of Wisconsin should be saying, hey, this is a program that works for this community. Let's see how we can replicate it to work in other communities around the state. Because that's really what it is as well. We should be seeing these tests of democracy, these tests of how communities are responding to problems. And when it works, replicating it. That's what we should be doing with the CARES program. And I feel for the village of Big Bend. I cannot believe that a village board without public notice in a more conservative area of the state, that is true, would go and take this vote. And I hope that the Waukesha County's Sheriff's Department can adequately still address the public safety needs in Big Bend and the surrounding area. But it needs to be talked about, out of how our communities are addressing public safety and uplifted when things that are working are working. Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to share your thoughts with us on a Tuesday afternoon, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'd like to thank the police for contributing to our show today. We were struggling to find some songs about police, so instead we just deferred to the band themselves, which I think is a very clever workaround, Aaron. Well played.
Well, yeah, I found there are a lot of songs about police.
There's a lot of songs about police out there.
It's just not with the message we're trying to convey.
I was trying to protect you there a little bit, Aaron, by defending the approach, but yes, that is probably accurate. So we are discussing community relationships with public safety and whether or not it is time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement, particularly revolving around the Cap Times piece, noting the success of the CARES program, the Community Alternative Response Emergency Services, which of course is a partnership between Madison Fire Department's community paramedics and Journey Mental Health Crisis Center workers. And it is based on the STAR program implemented in Denver. We have seen, as I noted before the break, Luke, and we'll continue pointing out here, some of the data pieces released by Stanford relating to the success of these type of programs. Now, Stanford notes that several cities, including New York, Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., have been experimenting with new ways of responding to certain types of mental health emergencies through little or no law enforcement involvement. Cities have been motivated not only by high-profile cases of police brutality, but also estimates that police spend more time responding to low-priority calls than any other type of emergency, with estimates suggested as many as two-thirds of these type of 911 calls could be directed to mental health experts. So, Luke, I need to point out that when we're talking, defund the police, a moniker that, as you noted, has been used to negatively reflect on more liberal locations, right? Cities or highly populated suburban type locations, but it's never used when discussing areas that lean more right, picking and choosing where you can drive this culture war type issue. I think if you're a police officer as well, why would you not be in support of some of these type of programs that data shows will not only make your job easier, but will allow you to focus on the aspects of your job that more citizens, I think, would consider to be or to require immediate assistance, in the sense that, you know, if there is a robbery going on or something, right? Where would you rather want...
If there's a violent crime
of some kind, yeah. Right? Where would you rather have your police officers spending their time? when we could get mental health professionals who are much, much better prepared to handle some of these quote-unquote low-priority calls than a police officer would be. It just, it makes sense across the board, and I don't understand why these type of programs have not been expanded faster than they currently are.
Yeah, it is absolutely, and when the shoe's on the other foot, when you are, or somebody you love is dealing with a mental health crisis, you do not want somebody showing up that
you don't want, yep,
is in the mindset that they, as police officers need to be when they are addressing violent crime, that all of a sudden there could be some concern for those individuals' health that are experiencing the mental health crisis. And so it's like, it is both sides of that coin. I agree. If you're a law enforcement officer and you want to be able to serve your community better, I feel like you should be open and willing to have the conversations of how communities can better address and take some of those other responsibilities. Because a mental health expert is the best person to address a mental health crisis. I don't know how that's controversial, Will.
Like, why that's controversial is beyond me. Yeah.
It, for far too long, again, going back to the failures of addressing shared revenue and how our local municipalities are funded, it has forced police officers and police departments to be that catch-all, to be the only individuals that are available to respond to crises in the community. But instead, we can look and see examples of other ways to do it. And in, here in Madison, the CARES program is working. There are programs like this that are working in communities around the country. If we're serious about addressing public safety, we need to be serious about looking at options like these to be able to better assist our communities.
100%. No, I couldn't agree more. It seems like one of those rare situations where the data not only backs up what a lot of people have been saying for years, but all of those involved would benefit from these from this scenario. You're taking more off the plate of police officers who have not been trained to respond to these situations accordingly. In fact, I believe there is no federal mandated minimum training for police officers.
No, so it's all on a case-by-case basis of what local departments determine is the appropriate training for their officers. So it's all ad hoc. Right. It's all a patchwork of different requirements.
And I can tell you, you made a great point earlier as well, Luke, that if you were the one having the mental health emergency or a loved one or a friend or something like that, I want a mental health expert showing up in that situation. I do not want an American police officer who, you know, the possibility of violence escalating from them is significantly higher than if nobody showed up at all.
Yeah, I've been in that situation. I had a loved one several years ago. I was in Appleton and they gave me a phone call in distress, like threatening self-harm or suicide from Milwaukee. I obviously can't go over there in a reasonable amount of time. So I had some friends who were with me find the non-emergency police line for the suburb that they were living in. And I know that they hate police and are scared of them, but I'm like, well, it is literally the only option. That or just potentially let something tragic happen.
Well, that used to be the only option, but now 988 and programs
at the time
around
it was.
Yes. But there are, so if you are an individual like that struggling, 988 is an excellent resource that Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, along with a bipartisan group of senators in the U.S. Senate, spearheaded so that we have a unified national number that can be called for mental health crises as well. So that it's all layers. It's things like 988, it's CARES programs like what Madison is focusing on. All of those things are necessary to be able to better address the mental health situation and the public safety situations going around in our communities.
We hear all the time as well, particularly after a mass shooting, why are we not funding mental health, even from individuals on the right? Well, here's an opportunity. We have the ability to fund mental health specialists in this to directly prove that point. We need to take it.
Well, and as we see in Big Ben, it's the communities themselves that are defunding the police. So again, this is something we have to keep an eye on. And if your community is all of a sudden voting on something like this without public notice, you need to be bringing that up, and we need to be talking about it. Folks, this has been Town Call. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.